Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Eastern Gaza City. Heavy fighting rages on. The White House is sending fresh warnings to Israel to scale back the war in Gaza and be more careful to protect civilians. CBS's Raimi Innocencio in Tel Aviv has more on the revised timeline.
U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan in Israel today pressed Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on a timeline. Two U.S. officials tell CBS News Israel's current phase of its offensive should be completed in 2 to 3 weeks, followed by lower levels of bombing for several months.
The world is on heightened alert amid growing fears of terror attacks inspired by the Israel-Hamas war. CBS's Charlie Daggett says at least 7 people have been arrested in connection with suspected terror plots against Jewish targets in Europe that were foiled.
German anti-terror teams say they arrested 3 men in Berlin, while police in the Netherlands detained a suspect in Rotterdam, all accused of being long-standing Hamas members connected to its military wing.
Senators are not getting out of Dodge for the holidays just yet. CBS's Linda Kenyon explains.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says rather than head home for the holidays this week, senators will stay in town to vote on President Biden's foreign aid bill. As for the House, National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says he hopes members will consider doing the same now that Russian President Putin has doubled down on conquering Ukraine.
But I sure hope that those House Republicans who have for months held hostage critical assistance to Ukraine heard Putin's message loud and clear.
Adding the House must not rest until the bill is passed.
They need our help, and they need it right now, not after the eggnog.
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
Ukraine and Moldova have gotten the green light to start accelerated talks on joining the European Union. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky calls it a victory for his nation and Europe.
Europe deserves to be strong. Europe's strength is in unity and resolve.
It could be years or even decades before Ukraine and Moldova become full-fledged members of the EU. There's a potential new treatment for morning sickness. CBS's Janet Shamley.
They call it morning sickness, but it can happen any time of day. In pregnancy, it's nausea and vomiting, generally in the first trimester. But what causes it has been mostly speculation until now. It's a single hormone called GDF-15, according to a new study in the journal Nature.
How can the findings help treatment for women who experience this?
We can both increase it, this hormone, prior to pregnancy to desensitize women and prevent it. Another mechanism is to lower the hormone during pregnancy.
This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Exergen thermometers are clinically proven to be more accurate than non-contact thermometers. Exergen is fast, non-invasive, and accurate. Find Exergen thermometers for your home at Walgreens and other participating retailers. Learn more about why accuracy matters at Exergen.com. If you like using debit over credit, don't you think it's time you also get rewarded? Well, now you can with Discover Cashback Debit. It's a checking account that rewards everyone with cash back on everyday purchases with no fees, period. Check out eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank, member FDIC.
I'm Tamron Hall. Eggs are a staple in our diets, and there's only one egg with more delicious, farm-fresh taste plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best, with more vitamins, including 6 times more vitamin D and 10 times more vitamin E, plus 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. Available in so many delicious varieties, classic, cage-free, and organic. Eggland's Best, better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Or eliminate that accountability for them or for us.
The deal also paves the way for a new engineering building on the Madison campus. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Packers take on the Buccaneers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers had a run-through practice outdoors, but missing was their most productive running back this season, A.J. Dillon. It turns out Dillon suffered a broken thumb on the last drive against the Giants. He revealed what happened to reporters.
Sometimes for broken thumbs, they have to go in there and put something in. Is that going to be required or no?
We're just taking it day by day. Just trying to see, how I'm feeling as it's going. And, I got a hit, just routine play. It's football, just, you know, that's how it goes. Got hit with a helmet, lined up the right way, it just aren't right enough, whatever. And then we called another run play after that.
Aaron Jones is practicing, but still not sure if he's ready to play on that sprained MCL on his left knee. Baseball, the Brewers made a trade with the Kansas City Royals. They picked up right-hander Taylor Clark and send right-hand pitcher Ryan Brady and infielder Cam Devaney to Kansas City. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, a low around 34. Friday, mostly cloudy, nice 50 degrees, 40 degrees for Friday night. Some rain is likely on your Saturday. We'll have highs in the mid-40s. Sunday, mostly cloudy, a high of 44. Breezy and a chance of rain and snow Monday.
Right now, it's 37.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. A guy who can still look intimidating in leg warmers, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, hour number two. Beautiful night in Green Bay, broadcasting live from the City Deck area of Green Bay from the WGBW studios on the Civic Media Radio Network. What could be more fun here than talking some entertainment after a long day? Where hopefully you got outside. It was so gorgeous today. Conrad, did you get outside today?
Yeah, I did a little bit. It was beautiful.
What'd you do? What do you do? What does Conrad do outside? What do you garden or what?
Well, I actually just went outside because I wanted to go get a haircut today. So that was about it.
It looks really nice, by the way.
Thank you.
High and tight. That's a haircut you could set your watch by. You don't know what to do with that, do you? No, it's a sharp cut. So what do? You walk, you go to like an old style barber or one of the, like a salon?
I go to a place in Kimberly called Hodge. Okay. And it's more of like a woman's place, but they actually do men's haircuts as well. And they do a really good job. So I go there every time now.
God, you just left yourself open for so many jokes that I'm not going to make because I respect you and I think you're a cool guy.
Okay.
That would be my first, like, to a friend who got a haircut. Yeah, they mostly, I got my haircut. Oh, really? Do they do men's haircuts there too? No, it looks good though. And what was it? You live south of here. So what was it? Almost hit 40 down there or what?
Yeah. Yeah, when I went outside, I checked in my car, and it said 41.
Oh, see, I live up north. We probably hit 38. It's like the tropics down here compared to that. So, well, good for you. That's good. It is a beautiful night, too. I'll take an El Nino winter any day of the week. And, okay, so we had the first hour. Mike Crute, always a fun interview, great guy. And we checked in with Jim Schmidt's Christmas party, former mayor, co-host of Mino in the Morning here on Civic Media, here on WGBW and WISS. Sounded like it was a lot of fun. We got a full report there. Breaking news, I like to call it. That's as close to the news as I get, getting an update from Jim's Christmas party. And then coming up in a little while, Rob Cohen is going to join me. He's a Hollywood writer and director. He lives in Hollywood. He's a comedy writer and director is what I meant to say. And in just a few minutes, this is cool. See, one of the things I want to do on this show, I'm trying to reach out to people all over the state. I want to know what is going on in their area when it comes to the arts, entertainment, what fun stuff is happening. You know, tell me something crazy that happened in your town. What happened historically? Do you have like a town nut that there are stories about? We'll listen to those too. You can come on the radio, tell us about our hilarious, quirky, fun state that is Wisconsin. And in keeping with that, in just a few minutes, I'm going to have Katharina Abderholden. I think I'm saying her name right. She is a ballet teacher from Nina, and she and her students are putting on a show. They're doing the Nutcracker. They're very young. They're doing the Nutcracker at the Grand in Oshkosh, which I think is pretty cool. And she's going to be with me in a few minutes to talk about that. Right now, I'm going to tell you, Conrad, you like garage sales?
I haven't gone to one in so long, so I can't really answer that now.
You know why you haven't?
Why is that?
Because you're not 80 years old.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. I you know, where I live right now, big garage sale territory. It's like people are crazy. They get up at 6 in the morning and they scope out the goods really early. And it seems like a lot of work. I've been to them. I don't frequent them. But, you know, if I'm walking by, I'll stop by a garage sale, you know, look at an old pair of shoes. Maybe there's a cool belt that they didn't give to Goodwill when Grandpa passed away. I don't know. But my wife recently lays this on me. She says, hey, my sister is having a garage sale. Should we get in on this? I'm like, should we get in on this? Like it's a stock tip, you know, get in on it. Do 40 hours of work for $12, split four ways. Yeah, I'm good. I hate too when you go, like, the reason I don't go to garage sales is like you go there and sometimes they follow you around like it's a store or something. And then they start telling you the meaning behind things. I don't need to know that. You know, Grandpa had a lot of fun in that swimsuit. I'm less likely to buy it then. Just let me develop my own memories as I look at all the crap you're trying to get rid of. That's kind of my garage sale motto. I try to stick to that. I've been to like 3 in my life. It's not like I go a lot, but all right, I got off on a tangent. All right, we're going to talk about 2 big movie birthdays today. The Jerk and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is Michael Caine and Steve Martin, and they're both con men. Michael Caine is like a dapper, suave con man from London, and Steve Martin is kind of the lower rent con man who just like likes to con women or men tries to get like a free meal. Well, they end up working together, and Michael Caine will sort of seduce a woman, get access to her bank account, they'll get married, he'll get the money, and then he introduces the woman to Steve Martin's character, who he has named Ruprecht, who's basically a complete spaz, very challenged in every way. And let's hear a clip. Conrad, let's hear the dinner table clip. This is Michael Caine's character introducing Ruprecht to his soon-to-be wife and trying to freak her out, obviously, by having Steve Martin act like an idiot. All right, go ahead.
Not mother.
Ruprecht, she's not our mother. Go on, Diana. You were saying?
Well, I think that the...
Ruprecht!
May I take your trident, sir?
He's touching
her. Now, Diana, as you were saying, you don't think the poor should be allowed in museums.
I think the
Ruprecht,
poor...
don't take the cork off the fork.
Why is the cork on the fork?
To prevent him hurting himself and others.
He just stuck it in his eye.
Ruprecht, eat your applesauce. Ruprecht, we have wonderful news. Diana and I are going to be married, and we are all going to live in Palm Beach. Ruprecht! Eat your food.
Steve Martin has an eye patch.
May I go to the bathroom first?
Of course you may.
He's not leaving the table.
Thank you.
Great scene.
So he goes to the bathroom while he's sitting at the table. Mission accomplished. They get the money. But it's just, it's like one thing after another. And it's mostly, if you like Steve Martin, and I like Steve Martin a lot. I'm kind of over the Steve Martin, Martin Short thing. I love both of them. I think they're hilarious individually. They're funny together. But I think the shtick is getting a little, I don't know. Just, I've seen it. And it's a little too polished. But anyway, let's play one more clip from, this is from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels also. This is Steve Martin and Michael Caine. He's taking the woman basically down to a dungeon room to meet Ruprecht, who is on the bed. There's a toilet in the room. It's disgusting. So go ahead and play that, Conrad.
I mean, I'm going home with 2 princes.
Wherever I go, Ruprecht goes too.
Well, when do I meet him?
Well, he's in his room even as we speak. Would you like to meet him right now?
Well, I would love to. What's he doing out here?
His quarters are here.
Oh.
He's just banging a pot in his room.
I think I should warn you that Ruprecht is, well, special. Ruprecht, I desire your brother. No sudden moves.
He's just being a spaz.
You've been banging on your pots again, haven't you? I told you, if you keep on doing it, you won't have any pots left. All right. Cuddly, cuddly.
He's hugging Michael Caine now, pulling him onto the bed and mounting him.
Don't.
The woman is watching horrified.
He's very affectionate. Now, come along. Now, I want you to meet this nice lady.
Mother?
No, this isn't your mother.
That mother?
No.
I love finding movies I didn't even know existed, like, you know, before I was born, whenever. This is an absolute classic. Highly recommend Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Michael Caine and Steve Martin and a host of really funny supporting characters. The other thing, do we have time for The Jerk? I don't think we have time for The Jerk, do we?
We got about 2.5 minutes.
Okay. Why don't we play that short clip from when he pulls up to when the guys pull up in the car and they use Mrs. Nussbaum's credit card. This is Steve Martin in The Jerk, which was also released on this day. He is was born a poor black child, went out on his own, and now he's working at a gas station and he's thrilled and he gets these customers and he's a little naive. Go ahead, Conrad.
I can fix those shocks.
No, we just want some gas, muchacho.
Okay, but it's Sunday and we gotta have a credit card.
And all the cash is locked up.
Oh, no, not locked up. We got a lot of cash. Just that the banks are closed. Now, I'm not allowed to have cash coming in or going out because I'm here all alone for the first time. I don't want anything to happen. And, you know, you flash this kind of wad in front of some people, they'll kill you for it. Yeah. So we got to have a credit card.
Oh, hey, Turk, we got a credit card in there?
Huh?
Credit card.
They start looking through all the purses they've
ripped. Oh, no, thanks.
Up.
I don't smoke. What kind of cigarette is that?
Joint.
Joint? They don't make them very good.
Master Charge, too.
Yeah, that's fine. We take Master Charge. You want to fill up Mrs. Nussbaum?
Oh, I'm Mr. Nussbaum.
Yeah, that's his wife's card.
Wife's card, huh?
Yeah, vouch for him.
Okay, as long as we got a voucher.
So then he goes into the gas station and calls the police. Like, so he's not, we think he's not as naive as we think, and he says, I got the guys who stole Mrs. Nussbaum's credit card. The Jerk and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, if you haven't seen them, folks, highly recommend them. So in just a minute, I'm going to talk to a ballet teacher from Nina in the Fox Valley. They're putting on the Nutcracker. What's better around Christmas than the Nutcracker at the Grand in Oshkosh? Then we'll talk to writer-director Rob Cohen. This is Pete Schwabe. You are listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
And- As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Shaw WAUK.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Pete Schwabe broadcasting live from my city deck here at the WGBW studios statewide to our great state of Wisconsin. One more text, love eggnog. Oh, and then another one from the 414. It just says classic. I assume they're talking about the movie clips we just played. So here's kind of a cool thing. As I mentioned earlier, I'm trying to find out what's going on in our state in the entertainment world and in the arts. And I found this today and I thought it was really cool. The Nutcracker will be performed at the Grand in Oshkosh. And I started looking into it. I think this is just such a great show for our for this time of year, and the music too. Whether you go to see the ballet or just listen to the music, it is Christmas, the Nutcracker. So I tracked down one of the ballet teachers, and it turns out I'll let her tell you about it. Let's welcome right now. It's my pleasure to welcome Katharina Abderholden. Am I saying your last name right, Katharina?
Yeah, it is. It's Abderholden. It's phonetic.
Abderholden. Okay, just like it looks, actually. Okay, and is it Katharina or Katharina?
The H is silent.
I knew it.
So it's Katharina.
You tried to fool me, but it didn't work. Welcome to Nightlight. It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. So you're a teacher at the Valley Academy of the Arts. You're doing the Nutcracker at the Oshkosh at the Grand Theater. Tell us about the event and when we can see it.
Yeah, so this is our premiere. For the past 19 years, we've participated in the Nutcracker at the Castle with the Payne Arts Center and Gardens. And this year, we decided to launch the entire first and second act of Nutcracker. We're presenting it at the Grand tomorrow evening at 7, and then Saturday, the 16th, at 12 p.m. and 7 p.m. Some really unusual and cool things about our Nutcracker is we've got a cast of 50 plus artists that range in age from 7 to 82.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, it's a lot of fun when you have all those ages and generations kind of creating work together and taking care of each other.
Yeah.
The other really great thing that we've got that I think makes us unique is we've hired a bunch of traditional artists that are typically represented in the second act of the Nutcracker. We hired a flamenco artist out of Milwaukee, a traditional Chinese dancer from Appleton, a Kazakh dancer from that does North Indian dance from Appleton as well. So we're trying to represent all the cultures that are kind of brewing in the dance world of Wisconsin.
Well, that is really cool. How challenging of a show is that to put up when you have young kids like that? Is it easy? Does that make it easier or is it harder or easier because there's room for error and you're kind of forgiving?
Believe it or not, the hardest part is having more mature adult performers. Our cast of adults that are performing, some of them are professionals and have been doing it forever, but a lot of these adults, this is their first time even thinking about being on stage. So my kids I work with every day, they learn how I move, they learn what I'm asking for. When I'm working with an adult who signed up to participate because their daughter's dancing in this production, they're like, man, I don't know what a tendu is. I don't know what a plié is. And that's like a whole nother hurdle of just like teaching different languages and getting them to do stuff.
Is there room in the group for a guy like me, a middle-aged guy who hasn't stretched in a couple of years? What do you think?
Believe it or not, we're missing one adult male performer. So if you want to jump in tomorrow and Saturday, that would be fantastic.
I will be there with my leg warmers, and that is a done deal. I would like a signing bonus, but that's okay.
You're not the only one. That's a running joke we have with our adults right now.
Oh, really? Bunch of divas, huh?
Yeah. That's the hard part.
I guess so. So tell us a little bit more about the Valley Academy of the Arts. It's a non-for-profit, and talk about your mission a little bit.
Yeah, so Valley Academy for the Arts is a nonprofit. We started it in 2002 in Neenah, Wisconsin. The founder, who's actually my mother, had a studio in Madison, and we moved up here just because of relocation of job. And it was her mission to create an environment that she didn't have as a kid. She grew up in Switzerland, and there, when you participate in dance or any sort of extracurricular, it can cost a lot of money, and that's something that her family didn't have. And kind of circumstance fell that they couldn't afford to pay for these lessons, and she was gifted the opportunity to train with the Zurich Opera Ballet.
Wow.
So our really big mission for Valley Academy is to give everybody, whether you're youth or, you know, have a lot more experience in life, the opportunity to high-class, high-level arts education at a really affordable rate and even at a scholarship. I mean, we really focus on providing the opportunity to express yourself regardless of entry into it and means of accessing it.
So, okay, having said that, talk about, if you would, I'm talking to Katarina Abderholden. She is a ballet teacher from in the Fox Valley, and they're putting on the Nutcracker at the Grand in Oshkosh this weekend. So how important, I always hear, you know, when people talk about kids, sports is so important. It teaches them how to work together and be on a team. And I agree with all that. And I played sports and it's great. But I feel like kids get the same lessons from plays, dancing, being in a band. You know, you all have to pull together and pull your weight. Can you talk about how good ballet in particular is to young kids?
Yeah. So on top of teaching at Valley Academy for the Arts, I also teach at Renaissance High School for the Arts. So my major passion is providing dance education to youth, because to me, it's not just about teamwork. It's not just about physique. It's not about strength training or conditioning. You're learning how to be vulnerable and tell a story from your own movement experience, right?
Yeah.
These are things that we rely on when language can be really difficult. You know, someone might be really upset and they might not say anything, but we look at their body and we know that they need something, and maybe we can provide that with more movement. So, you know, I love sports. It's really utilitarian, but when we start accessing movement through the arts, it's really just a language that crosses every single boundary. I don't need to know English to know that someone who speaks French needs a hug or needs a friend to rub them on the back. So it's just, it's in those moments that I keep reminding myself, like, dance and arts education from a live performance aspect is to tell the story of why we do what we do as humans and why we connect.
Oh, that's a great answer. Well done. So if people are interested in taking ballet with your organization or in going to the show this week, can you tell them how they do that?
Yeah, so our tickets are sold through the Grand Oshkosh's website.
Okay.
It's like www.thegrandoshkosh.com. And then you can see what's available inside that for seating. It's you pick the seat that you want. As far as classes go, our spring semester is starting, one of our spring semesters is starting January 9th. That's for our Academy and Conservatory division. And then we have an open division that starts in February. There are some classes that require an audition just because we want everyone to be successful in our school and we don't want to put them in a space where they don't have prior knowledge. We want to support them, again, at any point that they come in. You can check out our website at www.valleyacademyarts.org. Our class schedule is up. You can do a quick registration on there. Our phone number is 920-279-1578. Give us a call. We'll help you through that process or share any expertise you might have in helping you find placement.
I love it. Good luck with the show this weekend, and thanks so much, Katarina. It's great having you.
Thanks. Absolutely. Have a great night.
You're welcome. She took time out of their last rehearsal to be here, so that was great. Hey, in just a couple minutes, we're going to talk to writer-director Rob Cohen. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Israel's war against Hamas raises concerns about civilian casualties. President Biden today said he wanted Israel to focus on saving civilian lives. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
Our support for Israel is not diminished, but we have had concerns, and we have expressed those concerns about the prosecution of this military campaign.
Trying to wrap up a border security compromise with Republicans so that Democrats can get more Ukraine aid, the Senate is delaying its holiday break. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
That will give negotiators from the White House, Senate Democrats, Senate Republicans, a time to work through the weekend in an effort to reach a framework agreement.
A new study proposes a potential treatment for morning sickness. CBS's Janet Shamlian.
There are clinical trials underway for drugs that block the hormone, but those are for illnesses. They are not for pregnancy. That said, researchers are hoping to start testing soon treatment for the most serious cases of morning sickness.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegiout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's biggest business lobbying group is suing the state Justice Department over an open records request. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce asked for records between the Justice Department and the law firm they hired to go after PFAS manufacturers in March of 2022. They finally heard back in September of this year that the request had been denied. The department's policy says it should take about 10 days to decide whether or not a records request should be granted. All of Wisconsin's U.S. House Republicans voted for the impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden. The vote merely extends the House investigation into President Biden. It doesn't impeach him or remove him from office. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, a low around 34. Friday, mostly cloudy, nice, 50 degrees, 40 degrees for Friday night. Some rain is likely on your Saturday. We'll have highs in the mid-40s. Sunday, mostly cloudy, a high of 44. Breezy and a chance of rain and snow Monday. Right now, it's 37.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
The Shaw, WAUK. Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabo. We are broadcasting statewide from City Deck here in Green Bay, WGBW Studios. Fun show. We talked to Mike Crute. We learned a little bit about ballet and why I shouldn't take it, because I'd probably pull something. And now it is my pleasure to welcome to the show a friend of mine and a guy who I've admired for a long time. He's just a really highly acclaimed comedy writer and director. Joins me now on Nightlight, Rob Cohen. Hey, Rob.
Hey, man. How are you?
Great. I'm just so thrilled that you're here. It's great to see you.
Honored to be joining you. It's been a while.
We met at one of Josh Etting's legendary card games.
Exactly.
Just a bunch of dudes hanging out.
Yep.
And I lost a lot of money. That's why I had to leave LA, was because of that poker game.
I know the feeling.
But, so I haven't. Okay. So I interviewed you on TV a few years ago and you cracked me up. We talked about your documentary Being Canadian. We did a lot of comedy riffing. All of the clips I still have that PBS posted to their website. And this made me laugh. We left, the interview was over, and you said to the producer, "All right, so this is great. Do you have like a PBS swag store or something?"
Right.
Right. I thought, a PBS swag store. Where did that come from? I've been meaning to ask you that for like 5 years.
I was in Madison, the amazing Madison, Wisconsin, and I just thought my niece was going to college there, and I thought I would buy her some swag because I had left her having lunch with her to come meet you. So I thought I would get her some, purchase her some stuff.
That makes total sense. Okay. Well, very cool. Did she graduate?
She did. Yeah. Years ago. She lives in New York now, and she's in the fashion industry and doing great.
Very cool. My son just graduated from there last spring.
Oh, what a great school. What a great city.
Absolutely.
Everything about it is like perfect for college.
He's headed out to LA soon and might need a place to crash. So,
there's a couch right behind me.
Okay. So, hey, Rob, since we last chatted, you're working on this show. It's called Somebody Somewhere. You direct episodes, at least according to IMDb. The Duplass brothers.
Yeah.
Are they great dudes? Are they crazy? My only impression of them is of one of them who was on the second season of Goliath, and it was so crazy. I'm like, is that how they really are? But probably not.
I've never seen Goliath. I will say I've only met Mark once, and he could not have been nicer. And Jay, I've met a bunch of times. Jay directs some episodes of the show and was part of hiring me. So I'm obviously going to say nice things, but they're incredibly nice. And I will honestly say that show experience from top to bottom is the greatest experience I've ever had. It is the nicest people and the greatest vibe, and everybody there, Han and Paul, the creators, and Bridget, there is not a better experience I've ever had.
That is really cool. You've written for so many cool shows, the Ben Stiller Show, The Simpsons. Do you have a favorite?
When I was a writer, I'd say probably The Stiller Show is my most enjoyable. Just because it was my first staff job and we didn't know what we were doing right or wrong. And Fox hated us, so they ignored us, so we could honestly do anything we liked. And it was just like kind of a moment in time.
Yeah, I'm looking over your credits on IMDb, and you just like have worked with everyone. And it's, I mean, I lived in LA for 15 years. I had some successes and some great experiences. I really loved it. But how did you, like, you're just everywhere. And I don't really have a question. How do you do that?
I'm the untalented Zelig.
Not true.
Honestly, I think I've just been fortunate to stick around and work in different formats. You know, I started off in sketch and then animation and then multicams and then single cams. And, you know, there's amazing people and there's not amazing people. And I've been lucky enough to sort of sync up with a lot of amazing people whose careers were sort of starting when mine was, and we were friends first. And then some of them, you know, became very well known and very successful. And I was able to keep working with them.
And is that how it works? It's just kind of a sort of like a brotherhood, you know, you just kind of look out for each other and bring people onto this and they bring you onto that.
I mean, I would say, like, again, I'm ancient, but, you know, starting off in the 90s, there was like the alt comedy scene. So people we're doing this weird comedy in like coffee shops and bookstores and things. And then you realize later on, oh, that's Will Ferrell, or that's Ben Stiller, or, you know, David Cross, Bob Odenkirk, like just people that it was of that time. And then you end up, you know, maintaining friendships with some of them and having a working relationship where they start off on like a little movie and then they end up doing big movies. And it's just, it's honestly like timing and who you click with. I think it's sort of applicable to anybody. It's just that the comedy scene in the 90s, I think, happened to have so many of those people.
Yeah. So you've written, like you said, you've done sitcom, sketch, award shows. What is your favorite comedy to write and why?
I haven't really written much in the last 15 years, just like little bits and pieces, but I would say if I had to pick, it would be sketch, like sketch and variety, because it's short. It's, you know, come up with a good concept, beginning, middle, and end. And it's literally the variety of doing stuff. I just found it so boring. Not that I'm above it, but just doing like multi-camera sitcoms, the formula is so predictable and so restrictive that I think to me, it felt like you were just doing the math all the time. And I think for me, like sketch and variety, you could have weird guest stars or you could do cutaways or go to animation. And I just grew up with that stuff, especially with Monty Python and SCTV. And that's what I would pick.
So, okay, that leads me to another question, which I remember having a discussion when someone told me that you wrote on The Big Bang Theory, which is a very popular show, and then you left after like 2 years. And you left The Simpsons. Most people cling to gigs because it's a gig and they're scared of where their next paycheck is coming from. What gives you the confidence to walk away from successful shows like that? That's crazy and admirable.
Well, you're making it seem far more glamorous. What happened was I was there the first season and then the writer's strike happened, the 2007 writer's strike. So we were up and running and then the strike started and it was a strike for 100 days, kind of even shorter than this most recent strike. And I had been directing little bits and pieces on the side and secretly knew that's what I really wanted to do. But I was on a track that was a consistent income, but I knew on the strike that if I didn't pursue the opportunity to really try and go after what I knew I really wanted to do, I would kick myself. So it wasn't anything really that amazing. I knew I had to try. And so I just got out of my contract and finished off the first season. I knew the show was going to be a big hit, but it wasn't about that. I really knew how much I loved directing the little bits that I'd done. So if I hadn't tried, it would have been miserable for me, at least.
I'm so envious of that. I've never been at a point in my career where I had screw you money. I've never told someone off where it hasn't come back to really bite me.
Right.
I don't have that. And, you know, you get a couple kids and it's just like, oh, yes, no, I want to work on your reality clip show for CMT, you know. So good for you for
Yeah, I've done those jobs. It's just, again, it wasn't screw you money. It was like one of those things. If I had to do like a graphic, it's like a Venn diagram where I knew that one career path was overlapping with the potential of another and I had to try it, but the strike made it easy because there was a work stoppage. So I had a lot of time to think about it. Wow. And then Warner Brothers let me out of my contract and it took a while to get going. It's not like the next day I was directing things. It took about 2 years.
My guest is Rob Cohen. He's a writer and director, and he has worked on some really big shows and done some really cool stuff. Rob, it sounds like you like directing more. What is that, easier or harder than writing?
I love directing. I enjoyed writing. I just think, again, my strange Vulcan way of processing things, it's sort of the logic of it and the vibe of it, and it's not right or wrong. And in no way am I comparing myself to anybody who's talented or great. It's just like I love actors. They could be challenging like anybody else, but if you just kind of know what the vibe is of the scene and you can communicate it properly while watching the clock, that's the part that I love. It's the challenge. But at the same time, like Somebody Somewhere is a great example. You have somebody like Bridget Everett or Jeff Hiller that are just clicking and crushing it. You almost want to get out of the way. You just want to capture it enough so the editor can, I mean, you know, you've Godfather Green Bay. Come on.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think good directing, and you see this in a lot of great films, is just when the director does know when to not interfere. So,
yeah.
I mean, that is definitely a skill. Okay, so you're from Canada. I love that.
Yep.
As so many great comedy writers are. And you're not even from the sexy part of Canada. You're from Calgary.
No,
you're
from Calgary. That's
like the Wisconsin of Canada. So we have that.
I wish.
We have that connection. So you made a documentary, a really cool documentary that I've interviewed you about before called Being Canadian. Why are so many comedy writers and great comedians from Canada? What is it like per capita? They have so many more than we have. Why is that?
It's just one theory that a couple people have said, but it's because we are right next to you guys, right next to the US, which is this big, loud, successful, highly populated machine. It could be a comedy machine, it could be whatever machine, and we're just kind of close enough that we're observing and absorbing, but we have enough of the British part of us that we don't want to intrude. So you internalize so many things, and then you become passive aggressive, and then you develop a weird sense of humor. And so it's sort of like it's America and British light, and I think it yields people who are stuck in winter for so many months trying to stay entertained.
Yeah. And that was a great film because it says you were nominated for the 2016 Writers Guild of America Award. I didn't know that when we talked about it. And then the film is part of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences permanent library. That's pretty cool. How did that happen?
They honestly contacted me and said that they'd heard about the movie and they wanted to take a look at the script. And then they watched the movie and they read the script and they asked if they could put it in their documentary scripted collection. I said, of course. And I don't know who is out there doing that, but it was a very simple script and very simple concept, but I'm so flattered that somebody noticed it.
That's a pretty cool thing. So here's what I thought we could do this. I thought this might be fun. I have to take a break in like 2 minutes. If you can hang with me, I'd love to ask you. You have a connection to Green Bay, I think is pretty cool.
Yes.
I'd love to ask you that after the 60-second break, if you can stick around. Okay, so I'd like to say a name of a show you worked on, and in one word or very short answer, can you answer and tell me what your experience was like?
Sure.
Okay. Simpsons.
Fun.
Jamie Kennedy Experiment.
Creative.
Okay. Big Bang Theory.
Challenging.
The Goldbergs.
Fun.
Blackish.
Employment.
According to Jim.
Relieved I'm not there. I know that's more than one word.
That's okay.
I'll say my one word would be Belushi.
Belushi, and that is kind of ambiguous. So we'll we'll leave it open to interpretation. The Ben Stiller Show, you kind of already said.
Great.
Yeah. Just Shoot Me.
Fantastic.
Nice. The Wonder Years.
I mean, I only wrote a spec script for that they made. So I would say appreciative.
Nice. All right. Last one for this round. Saturday Night Live.
Eye-opening.
Eye-opening. Nice. Okay. Yeah. Was that like it was early young Rob Cohen?
Yeah, that was 1993, I did a guest writer stint there, and it was the first time I'd been to New York, and everything about it was a trip.
Wow. I was 1993. I was probably working the Funny Bone in Davenport. I could have known you much earlier if I got my butt out to LA, but that's I'm the lesser.
Quite right.
All right. So, my guest is Rob Cohen. We are going to do a very quick break and come back. He has a very cool connection to Green Bay. In addition to everything you just heard, he has an even cooler thing he's about to say that will mean more to people around here. This is Pete Schwab. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. When it's late in the evening and all the music's seeping through. God, man, just the other I was walking down the street. I was feeling all right. I'm with my boys. I'm with my troops here.
This is the Shaw WAUK. Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into something new, or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue, or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
When the weight of the world has got you down and you wanna end your life, bills to pay, a dead-end job, and problems with a wife, but don't throw in the towel, 'cause there's a place right down the block where you can drink your misery away. At Flame.
Oh, welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. But I wish I was Rob Cohen. That's who I'm talking to right now.
Wow. Bravo.
And okay, that clip was from The Simpsons, the classic Flaming Moe episode, which Rob is credited with writing. That's pretty cool.
Yes, and I just want to mention that Jeff Martin wrote that song. I did not write that song. I wrote the episode, but he wrote the song.
That is pretty cool. So in addition to writing a really cool Simpsons episode, by the way, our question of the night, Rob, is eggnog, delicious or disgusting? Where do you weigh in on that?
Disgusting.
I'm with Conrad. Is he like only the second one besides me?
Yeah. Everyone else has said yes.
We are on an island, buddy. It's like
it is horrific.
I can't even look at it.
Yeah.
That makes me happy. Okay. So when I got to tell you too, when I met you through Josh at that poker game, and you told me you liked my movie, The Godfather of Green Bay, you went to a screening.
I loved your movie.
Thank you. And later I found out you wrote Flaming Moe's. I had a man crush that I was like, wow, the guy who wrote Flaming Moe's gave me a compliment. So that was pretty cool.
Well, I loved your movie. It was so great. So you got many compliments for that movie, but it's a great movie. Nice.
It was a good experience. We got killed by the strike on another. I make a movie once every 20 years, Rob. That's how I roll. So stand by for that one.
It's coming.
Okay. So tell listeners what your connection to Green Bay is, because I think this is pretty cool.
I am a huge NFL fan. And I have always loved the Packers because Green Bay was like a small town team and it was owned by people. So years and years ago, they had the rare offering to buy shares in the team. So I bought a share in the Green Bay Packers because I wanted to say I was an NFL owner, but I love the Packers and I love Wisconsin. So I am an NFL owner and get all the perks of owning one share in an NFL team.
You can call up anytime, give management a talking to. Yep. Do they listen to you?
They don't listen to me, but I get those invites to the summer meetings at Lambeau. And I would love to go to one, but I love the Packers. I love everything that they can be and will be again.
That's pretty cool. And you got to guard that. You know, there's a lot of people that have season tickets and they lose them in a divorce. So I'm not saying you seem to have matrimonial bliss, I'm sure, but if things go south, hold on to that share. Do not let the wife take the share.
And how long does it take to get season tickets? Like you're on a waiting list for 10 years or longer?
It's pointless at this point. I mean, at least for me. But so that's pretty cool. And have you been to a game recently?
I've never been to Lambeau ever.
Whoa. Oh, next time you're in Wisconsin, you got to go to the Packer Hall of Fame. It's like a sight to see. Even if you're not, like, the Packers are not my number one team, but it is really cool. And Lambeau's just a unique experience.
Oh, I really want to go. I love Wisconsin. I love it. I will get my fresh cheese curds and have them squeak on my teeth and go to a game. And I love it.
It's kind of your duty, too, as an owner. I don't want to tell you how to own. But okay, so back to show business. How does a guy, I love this about you. You have these quirky facts about you. The Amy Mann song, Guys Like Me, is partly based on you. How does a guy get an Amy Mann song written about him?
Well, I didn't do anything. The way that it was related to me, I mean, I was friends and am friends with Amy, going again back to that era in the 90s. And I was told after the fact by her that it was partially about me. So we were never in a relationship. We were friends.
Okay.
So she, I guess, took a group of people that she felt a connection to, and that's what I was told.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I'll start writing a song about
it. Is that underwhelming?
No. I mean, look, a song is a song. I mean, I...
Sure.
Yeah. Jim Belushi wrote a song about me, so I don't like to brag about it, but that's just...
Okay, well, I hope you enjoy that experience.
And we did not date either. Yeah. All right, so just... We're running out of time here, Rob. I have 164 more questions, but I'm only going to get to one or two of them. Have you... Who are some of the coolest... You've worked with some of the biggest, the heaviest hitters in comedy. Who are your favorites?
In comedy or just in general?
Well, both. Let's do both.
Well, this is going to sound snobby, and I don't intend it to be. I've had the great privilege of working with Tom Cruise a bunch of times, and he could not be nicer or funnier.
Really?
Or more generous, and people will think whatever they want, but he has consistently been incredible and genuine. So I would say Will Ferrell is another guy who's just the same guy I met in the 90s, hilarious, sweet, Jack Black, people like that.
That's so great. And I will agree, like what I said, really, I didn't know Tom Cruise was really funny, but he went, there was a phase where everyone, oh, Tom Cruise is so strange. And he is maybe the best, the greatest movie star of all time. The guy does not make a bad film. You might not love it, but it's not a clunker. It's always, and a lot of that, you have to attribute that to him and his intelligence for picking a project and his input and what he's willing to do. The guy's amazing.
Yes, he's brilliant and the hardest worker you'll ever meet.
Yeah, well, that shows. That last Mission Impossible with the stunts, I mean, it's worth the price of admission just to see what he's willing to do.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope that doesn't end tragically because it's insane what he does. But, he's totally won me over, and I think he's probably maybe the greatest movie star ever. So that's really cool. I learned a new thing about you tonight, Rob. That's pretty neat. So
I really stick around long enough, it'll happen.
I really can't thank you enough. This is great. It was so fun to have you on. Thanks for joining
me. Such a pleasure, man. Yeah. Anytime, anything for you.
All right, fantastic. Have a great night. Thanks so much.
All right, man. Okay. Thanks, Pete.
You got it. Rob Cohen, just a brilliant writer and a great director and an even better guy. It was great to have him here. And that's what we do here at Nightlight. After politics, after a long day, we chill. We talk showbiz. We unwind. And we learn about eggnog. You know, Conrad, I mean, look, it's great that an old buddy bails you out when you're the only guy who doesn't like eggnog, apparently, in the state of Wisconsin. And we got it. Conrad?
Yep.
Conrad is tuning me out. tonight's question was, eggnog, disgusting or delicious? Here's a text from Rico. Rico from Rock County says, I tried eggnog once. Like I said, once. Rico is my man. Rico, Rob Cohen, and me are on record as not liking eggnog. And that was a great question. I'd like to thank my guests, Rob Cohen, Mike Crute, Katarina Abderholden, and Todd Phillips and John Minor for calling in from Jim Schmidt's holiday Christmas party. This was fun, Conrad. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, of course. It was always fun.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabo. Got a great show tomorrow. Tune in on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great night, everybody.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.